The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I don't need you to worry for me, 'cause I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home. I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life. Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone.
Well, good morning, Shasta County and beyond, and for those listening either online at KCNR1460.com or on the radio 96.5 FM 1460 AM, this is Kevin Cry. This is my show, and I have a guest in studio with me today. But before we get to that, I want to give you the weather. Again, always brought to you by Weather NorCal. Not a paid sponsor. I just really like Mike Krueger, and we used to terrorize each other playing tennis, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago. He broke a few rackets. I broke a few rackets, and just a great guy. And so I would go to get your weather at Weather NorCal. He has an app, and, of course, you can get him on YouTube and online. It's going to be super wet today. 58 is going to be the high, 56, 55 the next couple days. It does look like it's going to get sunny tomorrow, so we are going to actually get some sunshine. It is December 29th, and I got to tell you, I traveled quite a bit the past couple weeks for my daughter's basketball tournaments. It was in Sacramento and in the Bay Area as well, Concord, Pleasanton, Oakland area yesterday and Friday. They're actually still playing, and they've got a tournament. The West Coast Jamboree is still going, and they'll be playing, I believe, on Monday as well. And then we're back down there again. And the irony of my guest today, not that she's a high school basketball player, probably once was, but as I'm traveling in these cities, it doesn't feel much different when I come home. And I was driving this past week. I was going to the gym, Everyday Fitness. Again, not a paid sponsor. That's just where I train. There's a lot of good gyms, actually, in Shasta County. But I train at Everyday Fitness. And I'm driving to the gym. I think it was Thursday. It was Thursday. And I drove through the Caldwell Park in District 1, in part of my district. And there was like, I don't know, 15, maybe 20 cop cars, RPD. There was a couple other jurisdictions there. I think I saw a sheriff's office. I don't think I saw the vehicle, but I saw a sheriff officer out in one of the yards. But there was a hostage situation, and so I pulled off the side of the road when I got onto Market, onto Miracle Mile, going right towards downtown. And I texted the sheriff and I said, "Hey, what's going on? Do you know?" And he said, "Yeah, there's a hostage situation." So we texted back and forth. And I was just like, I called my wife, and she said, she was on Facebook and said, yeah, she had seen that a few minutes after I had left. And it just felt like, geez, what in the world is going on in Shasta County that we have people shooting down drones, we have high-speed chases, now we have a hostage situation, and come to find out, this was the second time this individual had done something like this in the past 6 months. So a week prior, I met Angie Warford Thomas, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And so Angie is a local superstar of Realty. She's been here quite a few years, and I want to hear more about your background when you came to Shasta County. But I got connected with her about a week ago and said, "Hey, let's talk about crime in Redding and some of the groups you've been involved with over time." And I just felt like, actually, like I guess you'd say, perfect timing that I drove through basically a crime scene as they're diverting traffic, and it felt like I was in Oakland or Sacramento, and I'm like down by Caldwell Park where my kids and I. You know, they play flag football, basketball, the skate park, and it just was like surreal that was happening. So, Angie, welcome on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the county, and take as much time as you'd like.
Hey, Kevin. So I have actually been here forever because I was born and raised here. So I was only gone for a couple years in my adult life, but otherwise I've been here forever. So I've been in real estate for 22 years.
Since you were 8 years old.
Yes.
That's
impressive. I was born into the business, yeah. Definitely. And prior to that, I was actually a social worker. So I have kind of a business mind with a social worker heart, but definitely can't stand what's going on in our community and have been a huge advocate for years. We used to have Take Back Reading where we would go in and we were just trying to bring attention to what was going on in the community. And this was 7, 8, 9 years ago. And then some stuff happened, and I kind of stepped out of the community element of fighting that battle. And it was exhausting, but also we weren't getting enough attention anymore. Some different things happened. And so I stepped back, and then over the last few years, just watching the deterioration and how dangerous it is, and being a victim of different crimes and having friends that were assaulted and different things happen, it was time to step back and get back into the mix, which honestly, as you probably know, isn't that easy to do. It is, there's only so much time. You have a business to run. And being in real estate, the last thing that you want to do is talk about how dangerous the area is. But I have to be able to go to sleep at night, and I can't have a client call me and say, I regret moving here. I didn't realize how bad it was. I was much safer where I used to be. So.
That's heartbreaking.
And I won't have that happen. I won't sit quiet. I mean, so many real estate agents call me and say, how can you say anything when we need to attract people here? I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, is be hyper-focused on our area and how amazing it is. And it is amazing. That's the frustrating part. The people we have here are the best people. They fight for this community. They don't leave. They take a stand. But yet, the more that we fight, the more that we see the deterioration. And it's... there's so many reasons for it, but the big one is there is no accountability, there are no consequences, and we are just watching our town turn into some places very dangerous. It's not like it's, we're frustrated because people are sleeping on the streets and we don't have a heart for homeless. That's definitely not the case. I was just a victim a couple weeks ago where a repeat offender actually was watching my daughter through the office window, and then came around. I had my 3-year-old grandson, and he came to the back door and starts pounding on the door to let him in, and he dropped his pants and starts masturbating in front of my 3-year-old grandson. And it's, this man had been arrested over and over again, and he's out, and he's one of many that just keeps committing crime after crime after crime and creating victims, and we're all just supposed to sit here and put up with it.
Yeah, well, so that's actually when I have an employee that you're very good friends with, mm-hmm. that I had saw that on Facebook, a post you did with the individuals, wasn't a mugshot. He was, I think getting arrested by a couple RPD officers. And, I asked my employee and just, we talked a little bit. So then of course I said, well, have Angie reach out to me if she'd like to talk. And you did. So I read that, and yeah, his rap sheet is a mile long.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got a lot of traction on that, and I know you didn't do the post to get traction, but I mean that's really, really bad. So like, go through a little bit, like, not the actual the person getting arrested, but how many people have reached out since you posted that and told that story?
I mean, I would probably say about 100 people have reached out, but I have people in the real estate world, friends, people. I have a pretty active personal Facebook page. I'm not really quiet about what's going on in the community anyways, so it was just, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this guy is out. And then the sad story is, we can believe that it happened. We know that this is happening over and over and over again, and there are no consequences. And we've seen it where people get arrested or let out, and then they come back and they kill someone, they injure someone, they vandalize over and over and over again. And if someone doesn't, I can tell you the community is so tired of excuses, and that's why I'm here, obviously,
yeah.
Is they don't want to hear fighting between the different departments. They don't want to see finger pointing. People want something done, and they want to feel safe again, because even I'm on the verge of moving away, and I don't want to. This is where my family is, my kids are, my grandkids. So we can take a stand and try and put a stop to it, or we leave.
Well, I think the most important thing, and this is why I think the timing is great, it's a new year. Also, you have a new council. You have a new board of supervisors. In every municipality or jurisdiction, you have City of Reading, City of Shasta Lake. And, of course, City of Shasta Lake, that is the sheriff's office, and City of Anderson has their own force. But really, the majority of the crime is in Shasta County is in Reading.
Yeah.
I mean, it is in District 1, actually, downtown. And that's where the majority of the calls, seem to be, from what I understand. And, so what do people, before we get into, cause I don't want to do a lot of finger pointing, but I think what I want to do is, I know we talked about this off air, but on January 13th, I think we're going to just do like a really massive community meeting. I have a couple locations that I've worked on. I won't be able to secure that until tomorrow, but I want to make sure the listeners know, either Stay in touch with Angie on her Facebook page, or, of course, you can always go to VoteKevinCry.com or VoteKevinCry on Facebook, and we're going to post that. And it'll have to be – it'll be a limited number of people because it can't be 1,000 people. So we'll figure out either a lottery system or a way to sign up and get people to that. I did one very similar. Jason Miller from Lucky Millers and a few others, we did one around crime about 8 months ago. And then there was – it was all business owners, and we totaled up – it was around $800,000 or $900,000 of damage that all these different business owners – and I think there was about there might have been 30 – I think it was like 37 businesses represented, but there was maybe 70 people there because you had employees from different businesses. And, you know, we totaled up how many – like how much money people had to spend by putting up wrought iron fences, or they had to put some type of, you know, new glass in their storefront. You know, it was a lot of money. It was just under $1 million. And that was only for 30 some businesses. So what came out of that, though, is a few of the businesses closed. Some people moved. Some people just said, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to close it, not even sell the company. And it was one of those things that we just said, okay, and it just kind of went away because people didn't, it wasn't enough, I think, that people were quite fed up. But what I'm seeing with you and some of the other people that have reached out to me and you, is I think there's a movement now that people are like, they're ready. And this is the time when new people are seated in office to really start putting that pressure. And where are these issues coming? So what does the community say right now from what you're hearing? What the issue is, and we could, I won't debate it, but like I have my opinions on what some of the things are. What are people saying to you, or what are you hearing people think, where the finger needs to be pointed, or what's going on?
Okay, so there's a few different things. The number one is the district attorney's office not prosecuting people, not having consequences. So law enforcement can go out and arrest and arrest and arrest and arrest, give citations. It doesn't do any good if you don't hold people accountable. And we are sending a very clear message throughout the whole state, probably throughout the nation, but I've heard it when I've traveled to other areas. Reading is the place to go if you are a criminal, if you don't want to have to, if you're a drug addict and you want to actually go and steal from places or get everything for free. And I have a heart for people that need help. I have a heart for people that want a helping hand. I have zero respect and no heart for people that want to steal from you, hurt you, assault you. I have a friend that was attacked on Churn Creek Road when she got out of her car to get an umbrella out of the road. And this was a woman transient that has had multiple problems. The law enforcement wasn't able to show up, and she was brutally beat. And nothing happened. We cannot send the message that this is okay, and that's the message that we're sending. We have to change the message. There are consequences for your behavior. If you come here and you're going to commit a crime, you are not welcome here. We are going to do something about it, and you're going to pay the price. And nothing changes until that happens, and I think everyone agrees with that thought process.
Okay, so and that I appreciate that. One of the things – are you going to say something else?
Nope, go ahead.
Okay. One of the things a few months ago when and just going back to your original point about the district attorney that I had inquired about, because I had heard that, you know, I'd heard that, and I'd heard, well, they're not arresting people. I'd heard the jail isn't staffed, or there's not enough capacity to put people away, and on and on and on. There's not enough judges. I mean, that was one thing that the DA's office had said quite a bit of. So I started down this path of meeting with Melissa Fowler Bradley at the courts, and I was working to try and get the sheriff, the DA, and then possibly RPD and any other agency that would be in that. And again, this isn't new. I mean, the DA wasn't able to make it, so she didn't show up. So it was myself, county counsel, the CEO of the courts, as well as the CEO of the county, the sheriff, myself, and we had a meeting. But then I'd had a bunch of subsequent meetings, and I'd met with Stephanie as well. So one of the issues now is there wasn't a public defender because it was in a transition process. Well, now we have a public defender, so there's going to be a meeting January 29th, I'm told, which is supposed to be the courts and the DA, as well as the public defender. I'm not sure if the sheriff is going to be at that one or not, but I would tell the public that therein lies the date. You need to circle that on your calendar, January 29th, if that date still holds. Why it's taken this long, I mean, I've talked to the DA. I've talked to Melissa Fowler Bradley, who's, again, the CEO of the courts. I've talked to the sheriff. And it just sounds like it worked for everybody's schedule. Of course, everybody says, well, I was available to meet earlier, but this is how it worked out. So it's okay, that's fine. Not going to finger point. But on January 29th, we as a community should have real answers from that meeting. And that's one of the things on January 13th that I'm going to really spell out for people in this process what that is, because you'll hear there's not enough judges, and then you'll hear that people aren't arresting people. Well, I mean, I can tell you, and this is just for myself, I talked to quite a few RPD officers preparing for this show. They are writing, I mean, no one would go on record to say thousands, but they said hundreds of municipal code violation, 10 point whatever. It's really, really long. It's the one that's illegal camping. And those, from what they say, are just have been round filed or are just sitting on a desk somewhere. Nothing is happening with those. So right now, that's the district attorney's responsibility to process those. I have heard, and I can't verify this, that the city attorney of Reading, the Reading city attorney, is looking at taking those cases and just filing them or prosecuting them, if that's the term, himself, and just putting these through. Because if people keep getting citations and there's no consequence, they're not going to change that behavior. And what I want to be able to do is from this meeting on the 29th, I think the public deserves answers. Like, what's really going on? Because if you talk to the courts, if you talk to law enforcement, if you talk to the public defender, if you talk to the DA, you get different stories. I wish that meeting was public. I wanted to be at that meeting originally. I was really pushing for it to be in like September or October, and it just kept getting pushed. So at this point now, the courts wanted to, and I've really tried to keep a lot of these conversations I've had quiet or not super public, because I don't want it to be like, I have my strong opinions, but at the same time, I want to give all those entities the opportunity to sit at a table and try and work it out. But I think at this point, we need to really demand some public accountability and say, look, what is it? Like, you know, there's a bunch of electeds in there that have positions, whether it's the DA, whether it's the sheriff, and we got to start holding people accountable. And if people don't want to throw other electeds or other people under the bus, I think that time is passing, because with what happened outside your business and your grandson, and I'm driving through a hostage situation, which evidently happened in September at some point. I've had enough. I mean, I've been here 2 years now. I have changed from a compassion standpoint about people that truly need help, because there are some people that are truly mentally, whether it's because of their drug use or because they use drugs because they're so mentally incompetent, that they do need help and we have to get them help. But there's a lot of people, the majority of the people, well over a third, that are just flat out terrorizing the city, and they're just getting away with it. And I think we have to be really vigilant about bringing that to attention. So we're going to take our first caller. By the way, if you want to call in, I know some people have called, I believe, and then hung up, but 530-605-4567. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. We'll take our first caller. Dale, are you there?
Hello. Good morning, Angie and Kevin.
Hey, Dale.
Good morning, Dale.
What do you got, Dale?
Well, add a couple things there to what you already been saying. You've got some good info out. The DA not pressing charges on the municipal codes, that goes clear back to Rob Paletti. He brought that to everyone's attention, and sounds like nothing's changed. But yes, the crime is just out of control.
And you're talking about Rob Paletti, the former chief. Charges. You're talking about the former chief of police.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of
things going on, and, you know, we all keep fighting. I kind of don't have a choice. As Angie well knows, being a real estate agent, she's had a couple houses for sale in my neighborhood. And unfortunately, they don't sell. So I have to keep fighting. I mean, that's how bad it is when people drive down to the end of the street, they see all the vagrants and the homeless, and they're like, yeah, I don't want to buy a house here.
Yeah, and you live,
clean this stuff up.
And you back up to like Nurpong Open Space or Henderson Open Space, correct?
Yes. Yes, and they camp out there still illegally, because we have a drug house that's been there for over 20 years that sells drugs to them. And the city of Reading just refuses to deal with it.
So, well, go into that a little bit. I remember you saying recently that they had a drug bust, and did they?
They had a big drug bust again, and it was, you know, elder abuse, and they all, because the druggies kind of, well, they say taking advantage of the lady, but she's the kingpin. And, you know, they weren't supposed to come back there. the whole da-da-da-da, and the next day they're all back. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
And
well,
we look at the charges on the Tyler portal, and they're all dropped.
So explain what the Tyler portal is for people, just so they can go there themselves if they want to know more about this.
That's your court system. Where charges are filed, and you can see pending charges, et cetera. And it's the I'm trying to remember. I have a link on my phone directly, so I think you go through the Shasta County website to get there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, well, Dale, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it, man.
Awesome. You guys are hitting the nail on the head. You know, we got to get all these agencies working together.
Well, and I think it's not what it is, I think at this point, and this isn't new, right? I mean, people have been talking about some of this stuff.
No, it's the same old thing me and Angie started with 10 years ago.
But the reality is, you know, our local media doesn't help us at all. The local media actually makes it sound like we're just a bunch of insensitive tyrants that don't have a heart or we're not compassionate. I think at this point, and well, Dale, I appreciate it. I think we're gonna get ready for another call here, but I'll see you on the 13th for sure. I hope. So in a couple minutes we're gonna take a break, but that's one of the things, Angie. Like with what you've done the past roughly 8 or 10 years, what have you seen the media cover? I mean, I remember you said before we started the show you were just a little disappointed that the media didn't feel like they were covering some of the issues. So you want to unpack that a little bit before our break?
Yeah, definitely. So previously when we would go to town hall meetings, city council meetings, and it came across as we were this grassroots company or community group that actually just was kind of heartless, and there were a lot of statements made that we would constantly fight back until eventually Record Searchlight called and did an apology because there was so much wrong information just insulting us constantly for everything that we do. And in all reality, we were literally fighting to help the community. And people don't want to bring attention to what's going on because they're afraid it's going to hurt their business. But in reality, the crime going on is hurting your business significantly more. And you just talked about it. I mean, businesses have closed. Commercial buildings are empty. Houses are being vandalized. People's cars are getting broken into. People are paying the price constantly. You don't want to go park your car downtown. We just we were out and someone actually was driving erratically, almost hit us. My husband went to go to the car, and the guy pulled out a gun. These are not normal things, but they are becoming our normal. And if people don't stand up, the good people will leave and the bad people will take over. And that's what we are seeing. And so the media needs to get on board to help the community and realize everybody's doing this to try and make it better, not because people are heartless.
Yeah. Now, I totally agree. One of the things also that I feel really strongly about is – and I've learned this, I can readily admit this, about, you know, people in government with promotions and, you know, who's in charge. And I'm not saying the people that are in charge are, I'll liken it to this. I'll finish my statement. I'm not saying the people in charge are just toeing the company line and they're not trying to ruffle feathers. But, you know, in law enforcement, you have some people that are super outspoken and they may never promote farther than sergeant because they're really, really, I mean, they're just really outspoken and they're not going to just fall in line politically with what they're being told above. And I'm not talking about a chain of command issue about doing something you're ordered to do, but I'm talking about like things that just aren't right or things that need to happen. I mean, the same thing happens in education with teachers. You don't get teachers a lot of times that want to quote unquote cross over to the dark side and become a vice principal or admin. But, you know, we are going to have to really, and it's not, and this is the difference with RPD versus the sheriff's office. The sheriff's elected. You know, so we get to hire and fire the sheriff as people. Now the chief of police, and the top brass at RPD, I mean, they answer to the city manager who answers to the city council. The city council, is really going to have to, because when they're looking at budget cuts and some of the stuff that they're facing, it's not going to get safer if we're going to take officers off the street. But I get it that there's a limit of how much money we have. And we're going to have to be very, very vocal as a community and just start pushing this and say, hey, this isn't about not caring about people. This is about caring about the people that we want to keep here, and we don't want to lose them. You and I, we can pick up and leave. We can, and it would blow to not be around my grandson, your grandkids. But you know, we have that option. A lot of people don't have that option. And for me, there was just something about driving through Caldwell Park where my son and I, go, well, when it's not raining, we go at least once a week because I like to shoot at a park. Like, we have a basketball, hoop at the house or have in the past. And there's just something about taking my son to the park and shooting there and seeing all the people at the skate park. And when you're having a hostage situation and stuff in Redding, you're just like, this is not good. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a couple callers stacked up. We'll start taking some calls and we're going to get into, really some things that you in the community can do, leading up to the January 13th meeting that we're going to have. And with that, we'll take about a 120-second break and we'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season. Open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights. Don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at Turtle Bay.
Looking for a great way to spend your Sunday? Come down to Wind River Resort and Casino and indulge in our Sunday brunch. Available from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. End your weekend with us and get this all-you-can-eat brunch for $45 with a River Club card or $55 without. Kids under 10 eat for just $15. Gather your friends and family and enjoy our wide variety of specialty entrees, perfect for a relaxing Sunday morning or afternoon. For menu or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
All right, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show, broadcasting live downtown Redding, District 1. If you want to call in, 530-605-4567. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about driving through Caldwell Park, and when I just kind of had enough, talked about kids, and then Angie wanted to interject something before we go to our caller, Karen. But, Angie, what do you want to say about kids?
Actually, I was just saying that imagine right now what we are teaching kids, and we see it because we're seeing more kids with guns, more kids getting into drugs, but we are sending a very clear message that there aren't consequences, that this is that you can kind of choose to do whatever you want if you go into a lifestyle with drugs and stealing and everything else. These people are benefiting from this. I also wanted to say, because Dale had mentioned Paletti, and Paletti years ago said that 20% of the criminals are committing 80% of the crimes. I don't know if that number still holds true because we have a lot more people coming from out of the area. But if you do think about that, if 20% are, imagine how quickly you could change the message. If you arrested and prosecuted that 20%, you would quickly change the message, and it would change our environment drastically, and that is so important. So I wanted to say one other thing, too, because some of the stuff that we talked about was the transients not having a heart and different things, and I wanted to break down what I feel the different areas are, because if we could focus on these, we obviously have people that can't afford to live right now that are having problems. We have a lot of young people on the streets that are being drug into a terrible lifestyle at a young age. And then we have a serious mental health problem. So until we have long-term mental health, and then we have drug addicts that want help and drug addicts and criminal transients that want to terrorize people. And we have to focus on the different groups to break that down and start eliminating the problems that we have.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And that's one of the things between now and the 13th. Again, well, let's take a caller. Karen has been extremely patient, and I know there's a few calls stacked up. Karen, welcome. You're on.
Hi, Kevin. You're actually my supervisor, so I just wanted to call. I have a group of, like, over 2,200 local seniors. They're active seniors. and they get together for kayaking, mountain biking, hiking, pickleball, the different things. We also like to go out to different places, like for happy hour and restaurants and things like that. But the biggest problem is you never know when it's gotten to the point in Reading when you're going to do something, you have to ask yourself, where is it? Where's the parking? Is it safe? And part of the problem is, like, going downtown, they spent like $100 million or something like that redeveloping the downtown.
Yeah.
And then they just throw in all that transitional housing down there. So now we've got a bunch of homeless people all over. There's one of the places right next to Lulu's where some of the people like to go to lunch and dinner and stuff. Somebody got murdered right there next door in one of those transitional housing things. So it's like we shouldn't have to take all of that stuff into consideration just to go out to dinner. You know what I mean?
No,
and then we have people
agree.
Coming from out of town, and it's the same thing.
Well, you know, and you brought up a great point, and that's one of the things, you know, I was, and I'm not going to segue too far, but and then stay on with us. One of the things, you know, again, don't want to rabbit trail too far, but I was really pushing, looking at, you know, tourism and some other things with the Board of Supervisors. But now, like, I've really, really changed, and I voted, you know, not to bring put any more money towards the Denver flight, because I really feel like, you know, people are – I use the analogy that, like, you have your neighbor's houses both on both sides burning down, but yet you're, like, repainting the side or you're putting a new roof on, and you're like, hey.
Exactly.
Like you know, we got to pause the conversation about
– well, you're putting lipstick on a pig.
It
doesn't do any good.
And the reality is, and this is what I've learned because I've been here 2 years now, and I've been hammered whether – you know, in your district one, so hopefully you're a voter, and thank you for calling in. I really appreciate that, because you're the first time I've never heard you call in or never met you. I don't believe, so I think that's great. And what I would say, though, is these last 2 years of this term, for me, I might actually steal the name, because Angie said, you know, she used the word outspoken, and, you know, I have the radio show. I do quite a few Facebook videos, but I at this point, the next 3, 6, 12, 24 months, just want to get as many people in the community, I don't think pissed off, because I think a lot of people are already pissed off. Now I just want to help people funnel into a direction that can actually make a difference, because I understand how this works now. I understand all the players, what they don't want to say publicly, why they don't want to say it publicly, and I think the time is now. Because if we don't do it, it's not going to happen, and it's uncomfortable, and at this point – go ahead, I'm sorry.
But one of the most frustrating things for the people, I think, is that there is no accountability, and it's like – just like you trying to get the meeting together with the other people involved and stuff, the other entities and stuff, they should be beating a path to the door to try to get this figured out. Because, I mean, without safety, public safety being the foundation of the area – nothing else matters what they're doing. So they're just sitting there spinning their wheels. So apparently they just are collecting their money, their paychecks and stuff like that, and don't really give a rip about doing what they need to do to make the community a better place for their constituents. And so it's just, it's so frustrating. I mean, really, they should have a town hall at the Civic Auditorium or something and just listen. Because you go to the Board of Supervisors meetings or the City Council or something like that, and you could get up there and voice your concerns, but there's never any feedback. We need to know what the supervisors, what the city council, what the people, the administrators and stuff at the county, the district attorneys, the fact that she didn't go to that one meeting is telling. I mean, she's the fly in the ointment in the whole entire thing, because it's her incompetence that's causing all the problem. And there, I mean, I don't know if she's elected or appointed or what, but she needs to go.
The district attorney's elected. And one thing I'll say is that's why I think this meeting on January 29th is so important, because people, mm-hmm. I mean, and I'll just tell you, I think there are things that all the entities could do a little differently. But the problem for me, and I'll just be, I mean, I'm honest, of course, but it's I say of course, because of course, you know, the media wants to paint me like, you know, whatever, and so I'm just really tired of people not wanting to step out and say how they feel, because really that's the only way change is going to come. And when I mentioned earlier about the sheriff being elected versus the chief of police in Reading answering to the city manager, I mean, at the end of the day, if the sheriff or the DA do a bad job, there is a way the public can fire them, which is to vote them out or have them recalled. Right. And I'm not pushing for that for either one of them right now. I'm just saying that's the public's ability. Now, the reality with the chief of police or the city manager, I mean, they are at the will of the council. There's five people up there, and now the council gets obviously elected, and they get to do that. But this is why I love having self-employed people on like Angie, because if she doesn't do any marketing, doesn't go out and meet with prospective buyers or people that want to sell their homes, she's not feeding her family. So that's it. It's over. It's done. Same thing with me in business. Well, you know, the city manager, chief of police, their paychecks are going to roll in regardless. And it's maybe it needs to rest at the foot of the city council. But I don't think, and I'm not saying that Barry Tippin or Chief Barner should be fired. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm just saying people need to understand the hierarchy in the tree of accountability and where it sits. Because right now everybody's just kind of, you know, pointing in different directions. And I'm really, really aware, because I ran on wanting to build a new jail. And by the time that my campaign wrapped up in 22 and I was seated in 23, the cost was about 30% greater. On top of that, as I dealt with that failed recall, and which wasted over a year of my time in office, by the time I was able to sit down with Noel DeShort, who's our auditor controller, I was like, hey, any candidate that ever runs on building a jail in Shasta County without a 1% or greater sustained tax, that's not like it's not going to sunset. It's going to be at least 1% forever. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. So people need to stop talking about that. Now, if people want that tax, then they need to be very, very vocal and say, hey, bring a tax. That's what we want. But I think right now there's enough things that could happen between the courts, the public defender, the DA, sheriff, and the law enforcement agencies that we could see a dent in some things, and we could see it probably within 3 to 6 months. And it would be noticeable if people want to really start holding one another publicly accountable. Because I will say the DA does say there's a lack of judges, but the judges, they cannot respond themselves. So if you ever are, and I don't want to do this to the judges, but if you ever know any of them and you see them at Outback and you want to say, hey, tell me that. Is this true? What do you think? They'll tell you. And that's just all I want. I just want public accountability so everybody knows what's truly going on in our community. Because it's not a popular place to be. All right, we're going to go to another caller. Karen, thank you.
Well, I appreciate you being in the fight.
Well, you know, and for the listeners, and Karen as well, if you don't follow me on Facebook, vote Kevin Cry. I go live every Monday morning at 7, and I'd like to carry this on. So if people have some questions, please get on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and put your questions in the comments, and let's just keep this going, because I think the time is now. We have to, with everybody newly seated, now the public pressure needs to start, and it needs to start or it needs to be very large. Okay, Monique, are you there?
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Hey, I was listening to Angie, and my heart breaks for her and her grandson. This is an awful situation to find yourself in, but I just want to make a comment about the CERT team. I went and had a conversation with Barry Tippin probably a week ago, and then I called you, notified you. He made the statement that the second CERT team got disbanded because they could not get a licensed mental health individual to work with the two officers. I'm just curious as to what you got to say about that, because that's something that I think that this community could use, because we have a lot of individuals who do need the help, who are mentally broken, and maybe incarceration is not the thing for them, for those who don't commit the same crimes as the individual did towards Angie. But we need to do something about the individuals who are broken, get them the help they need, and, of course, accountability. The man who did many infractions, multiple arrests, what he did to Angie violates just the sense of self. And I'm hoping that the chief of police, Sheriff Johnson, are listening, because we do need accountability in this town. Can you help me understand as to why the second CERT team was disbanded?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you at all why the second CERT team was disbanded. I've only heard, I wouldn't say rumors, I've only heard just sidebar conversations. Obviously, Officer Kettle and his team, you know, I had worked with quite a bit in 22 and in 23. But one thing I will say is, again, this is, I know, this is for Angie. Like, if she needs a social media marketing person, or she needs somebody to, you know, process loans or whatever, like, if she doesn't go out and recruit that person and a good person, her business goes under. Same with me. If I don't have a foreman or a forklift driver or a person that can operate all the tech with the massive amounts of camps and tech that we use, I go out of business. So the people that can't recruit somebody, I mean, I'll tell you, our county changed for the better forever because I went out and recruited Joseph Larmer, our county council. He has changed the way the sheriff's department operates. He's changed the way a lot of our departments operate because we have cleaned up one of the worst departments we probably had in our county council's office. Now it is rocking. Ask the sheriff. Ask the department heads. The people, if they can't have a mental health psychologist, whatever they need, then, you know, someone probably needs to be fired. Recruit that person. I mean, that's such an excuse because in private business, if you can't get it done, you're gone. In government, if you can't get it done, you just shrug and, you know, you just keep moving forward. And it's like, you know, I don't know. And it's our county's falling apart. And I'm tired of the buck getting passed. Angie, do you agree, disagree?
Oh, absolutely. I think people need to step up or step out. And I think that's a clear message that people need to send to the leadership of this area.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very obviously when it comes to recruiting and our county council, I mean, that was – I sat back. We went through a bunch. And then by the time when I'd finally had it, I just said, you know, to one of their supervisors, I said, I'm going to go find us one, and I'm going to get us a good one. And we're very blessed to have who we have. Okay, we have another caller. Judy, are you there? Judy. Do we have a Judy
yes.
there?
Yes, right here.
Okay, Judy, you're on with Angie and Kevin. Hey, that might be a show. I don't know, though, Angie. I put you first. That's like top billing, but, you know, you deserve it. All right, Judy, what do you have for us?
My question is, who's making the decisions on how the homeless funding that's going to Reading are being spent? And my second question, I guess, would be, are they continuously reviewing the program for success?
Those are two great questions that could each be a 4-hour show in and of themselves. So the county allocates dollars to various, through HHSA, through different organizations, through different groups, through, you know, whether it's housing, whether it's, mental health or, behavioral health programs. So I could, that would be a really, really long conversation. The other one, when you talk about metrics, one thing I will say is supervisor-elect, or who will be supervisor, Matt Plummer, very soon, he has shown a great interest in HHSA, as have I the past couple years. I'm very much looking forward to, and I'm going to miss Supervisor Jones. I'll just tell you, like, it's a bummer that we're losing him. But I will say Supervisors Long, Plummer, and Harmon are all going to bring something very different, and I think our board is going to work together very, very well. And I would tell you that the metrics and success and how we're judging success around HHSA, I believe, is only going to improve because we're going to have more accountability at a board level. But also, I will say, Director Birch and Director – interim director, or and I wouldn't say interim, I would say Christy Coleman, who's our acting director right now with Laura out currently, is doing a great job. But that's a massive organization, and I would still like to see housing and some other things broken out of that and reduce the size of that and make it more manageable for one person. But those are great questions, and I would encourage you to make sure you come on the January 13th meeting, because that will be something we will be talking about. The mental health and where the dollars are going, and because people say, why can't you just cut HHSA back and give that more to law enforcement? And we could talk about that a little bit. So thank you so much, Judy, for calling in. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
We're going to go to anything else, Angie. You want to add on that?
No, I'll wait on that one.
Okay. So we have Joe. Joe, are you there?
I am.
Welcome. You're on with Kevin and Angie.
Hey, Kevin and Angie. Listen, my comment is more about the crime than it is about the homelessness, and I believe that the buck stops with the DA. I think she's allowed herself to become political, and she goes for the low-hanging fruit. There's too many cases that are being dismissed. And if you talk to a victim, a local victim, that actually received criminal restitution, there is nothing that that office can do for them. If you want your restitution, you have to pay an attorney and get it yourself.
Yeah, I don't. And
so
I think
what I'm trying to say is something needs to happen with that office. Talk to law enforcement officers. How frustrating it is when these charges just get dropped right and left.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't. I've talked to quite a few RPD officers. I mean, I'm at that age now. I'm 48. That I you know, a lot of the ones that have they're the most senior officers, whether they're in not command staff, but whether they're lieutenants or captains or whatever. And I know most of them at least by name, if not by face. And some of them I have relationships with. But many officers that have been there 10, 15, 20 years. And they'll have very candid conversations. So I would encourage people to ask officers or ask, and even in City of Anderson or sheriff's officers, ask. And most of them will engage you in conversation. A lot of times they'll say, please don't say my name because, I have to go to work and I do have people that I report to and I don't want to make it uncomfortable.
Exactly.
And some just say, hey, you can say my name. I could care less. But
how many more years do we have of the current DA? That's my question. Is it worth organizing a recall? I mean, I just don't see anything changing with what we have.
Well, here's what I really want. Well, and again, the governor extended the amount of time. So I believe 2028. The sheriff, the DA, and I don't know who else got their terms extended to 28, so they're not running in 26. But I would tell people, when you're talking about recalls and everything else, I would say January 29th. I think what's most important is people have all the information, and from that meeting January 29th, I mean, the public just needs to say, hey, and this is the problem with media, is the media will do like a 90-second clip. So you have Mike Mangus or you have whoever doing it. I mean, that's not reportive journalism. And then we have, of course, the Record Searchlight now, which is delivered in the mail. So that just comes in the mail with all the other junk mail. And then we have some online blogs. Some are better than others. Some are just horrid and they're just propaganda and just, fiction pieces. But, we don't have any media. So what we have to do is people like Angie, who put something on social media, and there's a lot of people that have crime or different pages. That's how we're going to have to do this. It's going to have to be grassroots. We're going to have to get more people engaged, pissed off, much like in 22 when you had the school walkout, and then, of course, you had the recall of Leonard Modi.
Exactly. It was a waste of time trying to recall you, Kevin. We need to recall the person that is at the end of the line, and I'm sorry, I believe that, Stephanie Bridges.
Okay, well, no, and I appreciate that. And I'll just tell you, now that I've been here, now I really understand the recall for what it is. People don't want, I mean, when I came into office with Supervisor Kellstrom, I was starting to do this same thing from day one, and they shut me up really quick, not because I was intimidated, but because I had to focus on staying in office. But if people think I was going to get a lot done, then just wait till they see the next 2 years with people like Angie, in the boat rowing with me, because we're going to make really, really big public change because we're going to demand it. And if we don't get it, we're going to just call people out because we don't care. This is our community. And
all right, Kevin. So tell us once again the meeting of the 29th. What time and where?
Okay, so we're going to do a public meeting on January 13th. So go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook and follow that and be looking back for updates there or with Angie. On the 29th, that's not a public meeting. That is the DA, the courts, the public defender, and I believe possibly the sheriff and RPD and those law enforcement jurisdictions. They're going to sit and talk about all the different finger pointing that's gone on. I mean, I'm aware of what's going on because I've talked to all of them. They all somewhat have different stories, but accountability's got to come out of that, and I'm going to ask for that very publicly, February 1st. Okay, thank you so much for calling in, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, Mary, are you there?
Thank you.
Mary, are you there? We have about 2 minutes.
Okay. Here's my 2 cents for somebody that spent her whole life, 60 years, in beautiful Reading that's given her and her family a thriving family business for 55 years, still going strong, has commercial buildings down in downtown Reading. We used to know all the homeless guys. There was a handful of them. Every cop on the street would know the people. We all know. We all would talk to them. They were not what's going on now. What we have going on now are invaders, drug addicts, zombies, people that are coming into our community wanting to do bad. And you talk to the cops, my family has CHPs, all they'll say is their hands are tied, there's nothing they can do, it's all the California law.
Well, Bridget's
going to say is her hands are tied, it's all the California law.
Well, do you have a quick question? Well, here's what I'll say. It sounds like you had a comment, and thank you so very much, because we are going to try and take one more caller. But here's what I will say with that. You know, we had the governor come up, and some of the media, you know, said that I was whining that I wasn't invited. I didn't want to be invited. I mean, would I have liked to be invited? Sure, but only because, not because I want to be there. I want to give him a piece of my mind about, I mean, I've driven to the Capitol. I've driven down to his office, tried to hand deliver a letter about fire insurance and declaring the fire insurance issue a state of emergency. I was working with Don Rowe from San Bernardino County, the chairwoman down there, and he doesn't care. And the more people that understand, the governor does not care about us. And if people think, "Whoa, let's work with them," or "We could do this," no. If a person's holding you down and punching you in the face, you don't say, "Well, I'm not going to fight back because, you know, I really want them to work with me." Hey, he's punching you in the face. We flipped, and I say we, conservatives, flipped 10 counties in California. The reason I'm so fired up, and I'm just about to stand up out of my chair, I think I just scared Angie a little bit.
I don't get scared.
Okay, is like, now is the time. Now is not the time for us to thump our chests and put a finger in the air like, hey, we're the champions. It's like, no. Trump's coming back into office. Law and order is going to reign again, and we have to push it. We have to push now. Now's the time to push. We don't let up. We could say, okay, we came out of the first quarter, got a good lead, built on it in the second. We're coming out of halftime. We got a little bit greater of a lead in the third quarter. We're not just going to coast in the fourth. Let's slam it home. Let's beat this team by 40. Let's press them out of the gym, and let's leave people just invigorated to keep fighting for the next game, because that's what it is. The governor does not care. They're destroying the state, and we can do something here in Shasta County. Rich, you've got 30 seconds. Rich, go ahead. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yes, that's all I need. I was in the leadership team of Recall Shasta. We've done it. We know how to do it. It can be done. If anybody wants to help, please email recallda.bridget@protonmail.com. Thank you so much, Kevin.
All right. Thank you, Rich. And again, I just want to state, and this is for me and Angie can have, because we've got a couple minutes left, but like, I'm not saying right now that a recall is the answer or isn't the answer. What I'm saying right now is I just want the public to understand the playing field, because the media, I mean, some stuff that I brought up recently at our Board of Supervisors, man, that just gets buried because nobody wants to talk about the ugliness that's happened. And I'm here to tell you, it's been freaking ugly, that building, 1450 Court Street. And I've never been at the city of Reading. I couldn't tell you what goes on there. But accountability is coming in the sense that we just have to be absolutely loud and vigilant so people know, your everyday person who's listening knows what's going on. They know why the Raley's on Lake Boulevard used to be like the high-end store, one of the nicest stores in Reading. Now is just totally run down. Like, people need to know what's caused that and what's happened. And Angie, we have a minute left. Give me any closing thoughts you have. And I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. I just want to say we do have to stop blaming AB 109 because it's happened. Here we are. Now we have to deal with it as a county and a community, and it's time for a public outcry. People do need to come forward and get loud. You can't sit here and pretend. There was just an ad that came out from Reading Public Market, whatever they are called, which everybody's excited about, but they were talking about how safe the community is and downtown is and how you're safe to be down there. Yet I have clients that are taking pepper spray to take their kids to Dreamweaver Dance Studio in the evening. It is not safe. Let's quit faking it like it is and stand up and do something about it, because turning a blind eye and ignorance will make it much worse. So let's actually fight back and make them accountable, because they work for us.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if you're listening and you've kind of just been sitting on the sidelines, didn't know what you wanted to do, didn't know how you wanted to get involved, let's get involved. Now is the time. Go to VoteKevinCry.com. You can sign up for the newsletter, which I'll just tell you, I've sent maybe one email in 2 years, but it's just a database, and that database is going to come to life now, because now is the time to push. So go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. I will be going live tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And Angie, I am going to have in And we're going to do a live, we're going to do this again. And I think this is the topic that's most important. And it really just goes back to kids, which is my most important thing. Love you, Shasta County. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
From Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.